there is a kind of obedience that is childish, and that is actually deeply appropriate and necessary in the case of children. If you say to a child, "Dear, don't stick that coat hanger into the electric socket," it's extremely important that the child obeys you, and obeys you unquestioningly and without argument. There is a place for that kind of obedience, but that is the beginning of a journey of obedience which ends somewhere rather different. We see it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, in agony because he sees his approaching death, prays to the Father, "Let this not have to happen to me, but not my will be done, yours." He entrusts his future to his Father in an act of complete trust. He aligns his will, and it's a painful struggle with him, with his Father's will, because it looks so terrible at that moment. Now, there's no Easter day without Good Friday, and there's no Good Friday without the Thursday night before, the night of the agony in the garden in Gethsemane. It's a really important moment in the gospel story, in Holy Week, and in the whole sequence of Easter. Obedience, a perfect, mature obedience of self-gift. And there's peace in that. And then there's peace in knowing yourself to be reconciled to God and being able to be an instrument of reconciliation to others. Knowing that because your relationship with God has been fundamentally and completely healed in Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no relationship in which you are, however difficult, however complicated, however fractured it may feel, that is beyond the possibility of healing and of reconciliation. And there too, there's a profound sense of peace. The security of being loved, the aligning of our will in trust with that of our Heavenly Father, the power to give and to receive reconciliation. All that is there in those words. "My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." In a little while, at the end of the baptism, we will exchange among ourselves the sign of the peace. It's an important moment in the service. It's a moment about which the Christian tradition has often been quite nervous, because it so easily becomes merely a greeting, a salutation, a sort of friendly slap on the back. Something that falls short of the deep meaningfulness of the moment itself. We'll do it at this service in the position we do it, because it's just before the bread and wine are brought up. And Jesus said, "Before you bring your offering to the Lord, make sure that you are reconciled with your brother and your sister." So we exchange this peace as a sign of reconciliation, as a sign that we are reconciled to one another. Reconciled human beings, reconciled also to God, and instruments and carriers of God's work of reconciliation. In that deep and rather solemn way, we share the peace. In the Middle Ages, they were so nervous about the notion that people might shake each other's hand, or kiss each other, or have any sort of physical contact. That rather splendid way of exchanging the peace with a piece of metal or wood. It's called a peace board, or pax breed in medieval English. And you kissed it and you handed it to the next person, and they kissed it and handed it to the next person. It may have been slightly comical in its ordered solemnity, but it made the important point that the peace in our liturgy is about something very, very deep indeed, and that is the peace that Jesus gives us as he gave it to his apostles. "Peace be with you. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.